Well, it is good to be together this morning. How many of you excited to be here today? Wow. Wasn't quite expecting that. It's a good week to be together as we begin just to celebrate a week of the birth of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And this morning, we thought that attendance might be a little bit lower today. In fact, it is just a little bit. And some might say, well, it's because Eric's preaching. You laughed a little too quickly. You should take a minute. Like, oh, no, not at all. But I figured it's because many of you heard that I received an incredible gift just a week ago. Does anyone know this gift that I received? Yeah, a couple of you. So our students, we did a white elephant gift exchange. Yeah, right? And it's one of my favorite gifts of all time. I didn't bring it. I probably should have. I would have really gotten in trouble. So this gift, at first, I got a, looked like a little tiny miniature megaphone. And it was this voice changer. So it had all kinds of buttons to change it from robot to whatever. And I was really enjoying this gift until what happened? Somebody stole it. I don't even remember who it was because I was so sad. But I had to pick another gift. And as we went around the room, like there's some really good ones, I decided to open a new gift. Lo and behold, I got a really good one. As I opened this gift, it was a karaoke microphone. Yeah. You might not think that I am a person that would love karaoke, and in fact, I'm not. I've never actually done karaoke, but this microphone, it connects to your phone via Bluetooth. Pretty cool, huh? It's got a speaker on it. It also, while connecting to your phone and playing the song, it can simultaneously connect through, I don't know, RF to your stereo speakers in your car. Yeah. To top that, it has lights. They circle and all different colors. And I mean, it's like a karaoke machine, like in a microphone. And to top all of that is, I couldn't read the directions because they were way too small. So I think I asked Trevor, and Trevor's reading the directions for me. And again, lo and behold, there's a button on this microphone that connects to my phone, that connects to my car stereo, that has a speaker, and it has lights, and there's a button, voice changer. Like, are you kidding me? So I actually had thought about bringing it this morning and we could do some songs on the idea of love, and but I figured that would just be a bad idea. So I don't know what your white elephant gifts have brought you this year, but I hope they have brought as much fun and joy as I'm about to have with my microphone. In fact, I told my son, there's another parent on his basketball team that we sit in the top. And, you know, pregame, they're always playing music. And lately, I don't know why, they've been playing like 80s and 90s rock. And I'm like, yeah. Like, can imagine me and another dad pregame up there with my microphone, with the lights, singing all of these songs. I know it would be bad. It'd be the most embarrassing moment of my kids' lives. And in fact, it wouldn't be as bad for my son, but my daughter, she would be horrified. Absolutely and utterly horrified. So again, another reason not to bring it, because I don't want to bear the brunt of that all week long. So again, I'm glad to be here worshiping with you all this morning as we look to the Christmas celebration coming this week. There's much for us to celebrate. And for us here, we've been in a sermon series where we've been discovering the heart of Christmas. Oftentimes, as we all know, we get lost in the gifts, we get lost in the decorations, we get lost in the parties, and sometimes we miss Christ altogether, or maybe even worse, we somehow compartmentalize Christ and the Christmas season as just a part of what it's about, instead of it being solely what it is about. But it's easy to get lost in all of these things. We're reminded the last few weeks that Jesus wants to bring us the gifts of hope. He wants to bring the gifts of peace and joy. And he also wants to bring us the gift of love, which is the real reason for Christmas. And for us to want to share that with others. I was in one of my chaplaincies with a law enforcement agency was teaching all of the supervisors for the course of a week about what our chaplaincy is about, and give them opportunities to ask questions. And of course, they ask questions like, one guy asked, well, is it hard to not proselytize people while you're here? Because as a chaplain, we're not, our goal is, well, our stated goal is not to proselytize people or convert people. But I said, well, certainly, you know, I want to give people the opportunity to ask the reason for what I believe. But I said, certainly if chaplains believe that they have an answer for where hope comes from, certainly that we would be people that would share it. And just in thinking of the messages over the past few weeks of hope and peace and joy, that we would be people that would desire to share it. And today, certainly as we talk about love, which is the real reason for Christmas, that we too would want to share it with others. The first week we learned that we are offered hope in the middle of our circumstances because of God's faithfulness. The second week we looked at the wonderful gift of peace and that Jesus' sacrifice and that it makes it available to us. That we're made right with God and ourselves and others because of Christ. Christ is the one who does this. And last week we learned that joy is ours. It is ours. It's no matter the circumstances because God dwells with us. God is the giver of joy. And for the final week of our series today, we'll look at the theme within the scriptures that truly, I think, holds it all together. At the heart of Christmas is the great love of God for each and every one of us. But let's be honest, as we prepare to celebrate on Christmas Day with friends and family, there'll surely be a gift, right? A gift that you have to figure out just how you're going to respond to without hurting someone's feelings or feeling foolish. So to get us started, I want to offer you 8 ways to respond to a gift that may be less than desirable. Not like my microphone, because it's awesome, but in case you need some ways to respond to that one gift that you're like, thanks, but no thanks, which you shouldn't say, that'd be bad. Here are 8 things you could say. Well, 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 now there's a gift. Number 7, no, really. I didn't know that there was a chia pet tie. Oh, wow, it's clip-on too. Number 6, you know, I always wanted one of these. Jog my memory. What is it called again? Number 5, you know what? I'm going to find a special place to put this. Number 4, boy, you don't see craftsmanship like that every day. Number 3, and it's such an interesting color too. Number 2, you say that was the last one? Am I glad that you snapped that baby up? And number 1, you shouldn't have. No, really, I mean it. You really shouldn't have. So if you're wondering how you can respond to that one gift, because I have received a few of those in my day, there you go. So as we get into the Word this morning, I want to speak about a gift that we don't have to rehearse a response for. It's the greatest gift that's ever been given to us, and Christmas in the time is which it was presented. When God sent his son to be born, it was an expression of his unfailing and relentless love for us. His love is a gift. It's thoughtful. And because it meets our greatest need, our sinful state. It's a gift that is priceless because it could never be purchased apart from Christ's blood. It is a gift that is timeless because of the grace of God is never ending. Above all else, the heart of Christmas is love. So this morning, there's really three things I want to talk about, and probably just briefly. The first is that God's gift was right on time. The second is that God's gift invites us into the family. And third, that God's gift of love is to be freely given to others. Would you pray with me this morning? Father, we indeed are grateful that you would choose to allow us to gather together, that we would have the privilege to speak your name, to sing about your name, about your power, that you truly are marvelous, that you truly are a wonderful counselor, that you truly are the Prince of Peace. Help us today to focus our hearts and our minds on you, that you might be honored, that you might transform us, even if only a little, and that we might experience your love in new ways or old ways, but in just the way that you have for us. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. So this morning, I just want to encourage all of us, as we are just facing a week of so many things, of decorating cookies, of long days cooking, of days of hosting or traveling, a time with our family in which we love, time with our family in which, man, we just wish they wouldn't show up this year. There's so many things that we're facing. For many of us, these things are filled with much love and much joy. I'm encouraging us for just a few moments to set those things aside. For many of us, too, this marks a difficult week of our year, maybe the most difficult week. I want us to encourage us to set it all aside, too, that we might focus on Christ. So have you ever received a present from someone that you couldn't believe how perfect the timing was? Maybe because of something that you were going through, maybe because of a need that was met. It was as if the giver knew exactly what you needed and when you needed it. The book of Galatians talks about the timing of Christmas as the Apostle Paul wrote to the church. So if you'd like to turn to Galatians chapter 4, we'll start there just briefly this morning. And in Galatians 4, and verse 4 and 5, it says, "But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons." So from the moment creation was broken by sin, God began to unfurl a plan to restore and rescue all that he had made. The Bible is an account of his divine efforts and faithfulness to reverse the effects of the fall. It has always been motivated by love. God partners with those who love and trust him to enact the greatest rescue plan in history. Paul wrote that when Jesus came and was born to Mary, that the fullness of time had come. It was the right moment in history to send his Son to make a way for the world to be restored. I mean, think about that for just a minute. When the fullness of time had come, it wasn't the day before. It wasn't the day after. It wasn't a week or a month before or after, or even years or decades, or even centuries. It was that exact day, at that exact time, that God had chosen to bring forth his Son because the fullness of time had come. It was purposeful in that moment. Because of love, God was not content to just sit back and watch his creation suffer. He went to great lengths to be with us and make us a part of his family once again. It reminds me of a Facebook post that's been shared many, many times. It's by a lady named Tracy Howell of Leonard, Texas. She found a unique way of showing her husband both her love and fellowship in his daily life. On December 1st of 2020, she shared the following in a Facebook post, in which has racked up hundreds of thousands of shares. She posted, "Clifford and I have been married for for 41 years, and I have made his lunch every working day since day one. On occasion, I would join him on the job, on the job site, and have lunch with him. He made the comment once that lunch tasted better when you share it with someone you love. Soon after that, while fixing a sandwich one night, I took a bite out of it before putting it away. When he got home, which was long before cell phones, he commented that someone took a bite out of his sandwich. I told him that since I couldn't join him for lunch, I took a bite so he knew that I was joining him. She writes, I continue to do this frequently. She said, unless it's tuna or pimento cheese. Amen to the pimento cheese. And he still says, I saw that you joined me for lunch today, and it sure was good. She wanted her husband to know that she wasn't just thinking about him. She wasn't just thinking about him, but she was actually joining him in his daily experiences. She indeed was there with him, taking a bite of his sandwich. She was with him at lunch. And whatever hardships or struggles that he might have been facing that day, she wanted him to know that she indeed was there. What is perhaps the most amazing is that when Jesus came for us, he came to meet us exactly where we are. He was born under the law of God in order to redeem humankind, which is under the expectations of God's law. In doing so, his perfect life met the requirements that the law demanded. Where we fail, Jesus is successful. Where we have fallen so short, Jesus is perfect. I want us to remember that even more than the bite out of the sandwich that came at the right time during her husband's day, just to cheer and encourage him, Jesus' birth came at the right time, the perfect time, so that he might redeem us. It is why he came, to redeem us. The birth of Christ reminds us that God's timing is perfect. It was perfect then, and it's perfect now. Let's trust him in this. Let us find him in our lives each and every day. Let us remember this week and every week to come that God's timing is perfect. It's a gift that we have been given. The second thing I want us to see today is that God's gift invites us into his family. According to Galatians 4, the full expression of God's love is demonstrated in our spiritual adoption. It reminds us that we become children of God and brothers and sisters in Christ. We're given all the privileges of sonship and daughtership with God as our Father. The late pastor J.I. Packer wrote about this incredible expression of love that came to us at Christmas. Many of us live our lives every day missing the fact that God loves us. When we miss the fact that we have been adopted into his family, we have a hard time loving ourselves. In turn, we have a hard time loving others who are also valued and treasured by God. The reason that this aspect of Christmas should not be missed or avoided is because it is central to us living the full lives that God wants for us. Paul tells us of the benefits of being in God's family in Ephesians chapter 1, if you'd like to turn there. Ephesians 1, verse 3, starting in verse 3, says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. In love, he predestined us for adoption to himself as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has blessed us in the beloved. In him, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace, which he has lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight, making known to us the mystery of his will, according to his purpose, which he set forth in Christ, as a plan for the fullness of time to unite all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth. In him we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, so that we who were the first to hope in Christ might be to the praise of his glory. In him, you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, were sealed with the promise of the Holy Spirit, who is a guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it, to the praise of his glory. As a part of God's family, we were made blameless in God's sight. Think of that for just a minute. Many of us carry guilt, and sometimes that's true guilt. We feel the guilt because we have sinned, we have done something wrong, we have wronged someone. We also carry heaps and heaps of false guilt, where we have, instead of accepting either God's forgiveness or the forgiveness of others, we continue to make ourselves guilty when we're not. Sometimes we carry around shame. We identify as what we have done wrong and possibly what has been done to us. But as a part of God's family, we're made blameless in his sight. Think about it for a minute. Just the power that that brings to our lives to live, that in God's sight we have been made blameless. We're also reminded that our sins are washed away by his love, that God's will and way are made known to us as a father might share with a child, that our sins are washed away. They're gone. His love caused that. That we're chosen to receive hope and salvation. That he would choose people like us. People like me. People like you. He would choose people like us to receive hope. To receive salvation of which we do not deserve. We're marked with a seal to ensure that we are filled by the Spirit of God and will inherit eternal life as one of God's precious possessions. Do you ever doubt? Does your sin sometimes cause you to think that maybe I'm just unredeemable, unforgivable? I know I have. But he gives us this gift of the Holy Spirit as a seal so that we will know that we know that we know. My hope, my salvation, it does not rest in my ability to be perfect, because which of us can be? He has sealed us by giving us his Spirit. And all of this is only made possible by the arrival of Jesus. By the birth of Christ on that perfect day in that perfect time when the fullness of time had come to one day sacrificially give his life on a cross to prove God's amazing love for us, that he would choose to make us part of his family, that he would choose to remind us and give us the gift of just knowing that his timing is perfect. And the third thing this morning I want us to see is that God's gift of love is to be freely given to others. The reason that love must be at the heart of Christmas is simply because if we miss this being the central message of the season, in the midst of the lights and the presence, we may never receive it for ourselves. Whether that is for the first time of surrendering our lives to him, confessing our sin and being forgiven, or whether it is receiving his ongoing gift of love for us. What's perhaps the most tragic about this oversight is that we often give the kind of love that we perceive to be ours. if we haven't experienced the grace of God, it's difficult to offer the grace of God. If we don't know the compassion of God, it's difficult to express the compassion of God. But when we recognize the kind of love that God has for us, it becomes the way in which we treat other people around us. The most famous of passages in Scripture about love helps us understand God's feelings and his beliefs toward us and the way that we should feel about our spouses, our children, our friends, our neighbors, our coworkers, and all that we encounter. Let's read from 1 Corinthians chapter 13. He writes, "If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. If I give away all that I have and deliver up my body to be burned, but have not love, I gain nothing. Love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. As for prophecies, they will pass away. As for tongues, they will cease. As for knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part and we prophesy in part, but when the perfect comes, the partial will pass away. When I was a child, I spoke like a child, I thought like a child, I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I gave up childish ways. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now in part, then I shall know fully, even as I have been fully known. So now faith, hope, and love abide. These three, but the greatest of these is love. Pursue love and earnestly desire the spiritual gifts, especially that you may prophesy." Friends, we can get caught up in all kinds of things. We can get caught up in many things that are even good, and we can miss the point if love's not our motivating factor. Love, like we have been given from God, it should cause us to be patient and kind to one another. Think about the things that you are about to face this week. We should be patient and kind. It should cause us to avoid being envious of one another or proud. Love drives us to honor others and to keep a cool head. Love is present when we avoid evil and rejoice with good. Does it sound like the love that you have received from God? Do our lives reflect this? The way this passage might sound during Christmas would be like this. If I decorate my house perfectly with plaid bows, strands of twinkling lights, and shiny ornaments, and if it were my mother, lots and lots of tinsel on the tree. If I do all of these things but have not love, I'm just another decorator. If I work hard in the kitchen, baking Christmas cookies, preparing gourmet meals, and arranging a beautifully adorned table at mealtime, but I don't have love, I'm just another cook. If I work at a soup kitchen, carol in the nursing home, and give all that I have to charity, but have not love, it profits me nothing. If I trim the spruce with shimmering angels and crocheted snowflakes, attend a myriad of holiday parties, and sing in the choir's cantata. How many of you know what cantatas are? Wow, lots of people don't. All right, strike that from the message for second service. if I do all of these things, but I don't focus on Christ, I've missed the point. Love stops the cooking to hug the child. Love sets aside the decorating to kiss the spouse. Love is kind, even when harried and tired. Love does not envy another's home that has coordinated Christmas china and table linens or lights to set to music. Love does not yell at the kids to get out of the way, but is thankful that they are there to be in the way. Love does not give to those who are able to give in return, but rejoices in giving to those who cannot. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes in all things, and endures all things. Love never fails. It's the charge that we've been given, my friends. Once we receive the love of Christ, for us to freely give this love to others. So how should all of this change our lives this week? It's pretty simple. We should focus on the gift that God has given us in Christ. We should remember that in all things, in all times, God's timing is perfect. We should remember that Christ adopts us into his family, no matter the dysfunction of our own here on earth. And we should remember to love the way that Christ loves, in a way that never fails. So friends, whatever it is that we're facing this week, may these things be true of us. May we keep Christ at the forefront, remembering his time is perfect, that no matter what, that we've been adopted into his family, and that we can love and give his love freely because he has first loved us. Let's pray. Father, we indeed again are grateful. Grateful for your word that guides us. Grateful for your spirit that teaches us. Grateful for the ways that you are indeed patient and loving with us. We're grateful for the gift of the birth of Christ. We're grateful that your timing in all things is perfect. God, we're grateful that you have adopted us as your sons and your daughters. And Father, if there's someone that's here today that has not just repented of their sin, believed in the gospel and the sacrifice of which Christ has made on the cross, Father, today might be that day. And Father, that we would be people who love like this passage challenges us to love in all ways, at all times, with all people, as we represent you. And we give to others freely because you have given so freely to us. And we're thankful for all things. And we pray these in Christ's name. Amen.